Yes, that's right. A very good morning to you, and wherever you are, you can tune in to Eagle FM. Wherever you are, wherever you're finding yourself this morning. And where are you tuning in from this morning? Good morning to you, my dear listener. Good morning, Namibia. Welcome to your favorite and your number one talk radio station in the land of the brave. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Thursday morning. So welcome. And where are you listening us from? So it's today's what? The 16th? It's the 16th of the 7th month, and the year is 2026. So, and for the... Yeah, just somebody SMS me here now, something. Well, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, for the England people, for the English people, it's not coming home. It's not coming home at all. You know, English have this, it's coming home every year. I mean, every World Cup, you know, it's coming home. It's coming home. It's not coming home, unfortunately. So, yeah. Nice, good. It was a very, very, very exciting game yesterday. Semi-final. Argentina actually move up to, they will meet, with Spain in the final. And, England is out. Probably they will play Saturday, I think, for the bronze. So, yeah. So, good morning. And, the England fan, I'm sorry. Next time again, it's gonna come home next time. All right, not this time. So good morning to you, and welcome to Eagle FM. So my name is Michael Chiavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economic, and politic headlines. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. So, and if you're just joining us, good morning to you, and welcome, and welcome. Thanks for joining the family. So, and thanks for joining the Eagle FM family. So you are welcome. So we are right at the beginning, and we're right at the beginning. Our time is about 7 minutes past the hour of 8, and we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. And I will be with you until 11 o'clock. Until 11 o'clock. So we have plenty of time to tackle some of the headlines that's happening around the world and also right here in our beloved land of the brave. Yeah, so before we start, before we go into some of the pressing issues, we normally look at what happened in Africa. So we go back into history and look at what happened on this day in Africa. So on the 16th of July. So good morning, Africa, and welcome to this segment of on this day in Africa. Today we are flipping back the calendar to July the 16th. So let's not waste time. Let's dive into it. So first up, in 1960, the Republic of the Congo, the Congo Brazzaville, as a lot of people call it, officially broke free from France. Fulbert Yolo step up as the country first president. And this wasn't just one country doing its own thing. In 1960 was the year of Africa. So in 1960 was the year of Africa, when nation after nation was throwing off colonial rule. 17 countries across the continent won their independence that year alone. 17 in 1960. So Congo-Brazzaville was riding a massive wave of freedom. So, but independence wasn't smooth sailing everywhere. It wasn't smooth sailing everywhere. Right next door, the other Congo, the one that had just broken away from Belgium, was already in deep trouble. Just days after its own independence, the army muttered, politics was a mess, and things were falling apart very fast. Now, so this day, the very same day, this same day, July the 16th, 1960, the first United Nations peacekeepers rolled into the place, to replace Belgian troops. So what started that day turned into one of the biggest and most complicated UN mission of the entire Cold War. So, and here's why it got so messy so quickly. So the mineral-rich Katanga province in the Congo, so led by Moise Tshombe, decided it was seceding, and pulling away from central government. Now, that kicked off the Congo crisis, conflict that dragged on for years, and sadly led to the assassination of Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba in 1961. So, and the fallout from that really shaped Central African politics for a long, long time to come. So, now let's jump forward to July the 16th in 1981. Mauritius officially signed on to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights. So basically, they were putting their name to a promise to protect human rights and basic freedom across the continent. That was under the old Organization of African Unity, which later became the African Union. So now, when you look at July the 16th, you really see two sides of Africa's story, the hard fight for independence and the long ongoing work to build fair, right-respecting nations. Now, in 1960, as I said earlier, in 1960, that year of Africa was truly something else. You know, Cameroon, Senegal, Mali, Madagascar, Somalia, Niger, Burkina Faso, then called Upper Volta, Chad, Ivory Coast, Gabon, Nigeria. So the list goes on. The map of Africa was being redrawn almost week by week. So all those countries actually got independent in 1960. It was the year of Africa. So that's your history. That's your history for today. Thanks for tuning in to On This Day in Africa. Well, catch us tomorrow. I'll catch you tomorrow again on this segment, On This Day in Africa. And good morning. Good morning. If you're just joining us, welcome. Welcome. We are tuning to Eagle FM. This is Unpacking the Day. So, and I'm your host, Big Mike, on the mic here. So live from the Ondangwa studio. So yeah, just before you go on with your day, let's have a kind of thought for the day that should guide our day on this day, on today's day, on today's Thursday, the 6th July, the 16th. So now there's a beautiful, beautiful Finnish proverb that say, even a small star shines in the darkness. Even a small star shines in the darkness. Now, the proverb actually reminds us that you don't have to be the biggest, the richest, or the most powerful person to make a difference. We only notice the stars when the sky is dark. In the same way, it's often during maybe the life-toughest moment that ordinary people do ordinary things. A kind word, a helping hand, a smile, or simply refusing to give up can become light for someone else. So many of us spend our lives waiting for the perfect opportunity. More money or a bigger platform become before we believe we can make an impact. But this proverb tells us that your value is not measured by your size. It's measured by your willingness to shine where you are. So today, don't underestimate yourself, okay? Don't underestimate yourself. Your encouragement could actually change someone's day. Your honesty could inspire a colleague. Your courage could give someone else the strength to keep going. And remember, darkness doesn't need a giant sun to begin disappearing. Sometimes all it takes is one small star willing to shine. And never forget, no light is too small when the world needs hope. No light is too small when the world needs hope. And you could be that light. All right. So that's our thought for the day. Before we, each one of us, go your directions. Okay. Do what you got to do wherever you are. And make sure that you put your heart and soul in what you're doing today. All right. So we get a country to build. And of course, there are issues to discuss. So when I get back, not when I get back. Let me just give you what you can look forward to. What can you look forward to? What are we discussing this morning? What is making headlines in Namibia and outside Namibia? So we have, all right. So now there is this story, I think it's one of the of daily publications. I think it's in the Sun. The lawmaker have been assured that the Namibian government's 24% equity stake in the hyphen green hydrogen project is fully funded by international grants. Now that exempt now taxpayers from direct financial risk during the development phase. But what we're looking at, what we're going to look at, if we are not, who is actually paying for our stake? Who is actually paying for our 24% equity stake in the hyphen green hydrogen? And if we are not paying it ourselves, who is paying it? And do we own the project? Do we own the project? So we're going to unpack that, okay? And around 9 o'clock, so we're going to reach out to the construction industry. We're going to reach out to Mrs. Kishner, the CEO of the CIF, the Construction Industry Federation, to talk about, the merger, the cement merger. So I'm going to get into that just to hear their perspective. So hopefully, we probably we'll be able to get hold of her. All right, so that's coming around 9 o'clock. Just tune in for that as well. All right, and after years of decline, Africa anti-corruption performance has begun to recover since 2020. So Seychelles now ties Rwanda for the top spot, but the progress remain uneven, with many countries still deteriorating when it comes to anti-corruptions. And where is Namibia? so in terms of anti-corruption performance index. So we're going to look at that as well. Stay tuned. There's so many we're going to cover this morning. Make sure that you stay tuned and you unpack everything with me. So good morning and welcome.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. And 20 minutes past the hour of 8 and you're tuned in to your number one talk radio stations. And wherever you are, you can actually stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, you know. So wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM. You can listen to us through website. When if you're in a car and you get into your office and you have a computer, you have internet, get on internet and get on that www web, you know, that website, you know, internet, and go to Eagle FM website. You can continue to listen us live there, and also the magic one, get the app that you have to download it, and you download it for free. You don't pay any cent at all as long as you have internet. So yeah, download the app, the Eagle FM mobile app. You can download it through the Google Play, from the Google Play or Play Store. So, and you won't regret having that. Definitely you won't regret having that, because you can be anywhere on the planet, anywhere in the universe, okay? You'll be able to listen to Eagle FM. So make sure that you download that. All right. And very good morning. If you're just joining us and if you haven't been here before, welcome. Welcome. You are on the right boat, my friend. You are on the right boat this morning. And thanks. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM. And we love being in your company. And I hope definitely we're not going to disappoint you. Good morning, Namibia. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. You're tuned into Eagle FM. And I'm your host. Yeah, Big Mike. So now grab something, you know, grab something. Grab your tea, grab your coffee, grab your, if you are, weather have changed a little bit. Winter was so short it's not winter. It's no longer winter, I think. Still cold, a little bit cold in the morning, but, it was so short. For us in the north, it was just 1 week. It was just 1 week that we really experienced, cold weather, when it was really, really, really cold. Not too cold, but cold enough to say it's winter. But then that was it. So time is changing, man. Time is changing. We must really, take it serious that the, you know, what is the climate change is, you know, because there are still those who don't believe that it's real. So it is real. Winter was so short. Very, very, very short. So still cold, probably in some place. Yeah. So that's why I said grab something cold. You know, wherever you find, if you're in the office or at home, yeah, grab something for you to warm you. But I'm going to warm you up. Don't worry. If you're thinking, okay, you need to warm you up. No. We're going to warm you up, because we have stories that would warm you up. You know, that get your blood really, you know, goes up. Eh? That hypertension in your blood. Let me put it in that way. So, yeah, we're going to warm you up. Yeah, but get something to warm you up, something stronger, because this morning we're going to go into stories. And we're going to dig deep into a story about the big green hydrogen project, the hyphen one, down there in the south, the one they keep telling us is going to change everything for Namibia. So that's the one we're going to dig deep. That's the one we're going to unpack. So today we are looking at the headline that say government is not using your tax money to fund its piece of this pie. Okay. So the government is not using your tax money. So don't be worried. Don't worry. So the government is not using your money to fund its piece. It has a piece in the pie, but it's not using your money. The government owned 24% of this project, but they are saying, relax, Namibia people, relax. It's not your hair, it's not your hard-earned money dollar at risk, okay? So it's not your hard-earned dollar at risk here. So the European are paying for it. So don't worry, the European are paying for it. So that's what the story is about. And some of us are really, okay, the European are paying for it. That doesn't sound right. Okay, so what is their interest? So how are we, shouldn't worry, eh? So do you know what that sounds like? So when somebody now telling you, okay, don't worry, there are others who are paying for it. Do you know what it sounds like? On the surface, sounds like a good news, isn't it? Okay? It sounds like, well, that's a good news. We got somebody paying for it. Eh? So we got somebody, and we have a stake in it, but somebody's paying for it. Eh? Now, it sounds like, you know, like finding out your uncle is actually building a house, but the bank is paying the deposit. So the bank is paying the deposit, not you. But we are not children here. Okay, we aren't children here, my dear listeners. Hopefully you're not children like I am. Okay, you can't fool us that way. Now, we need to ask, okay, when someone else is putting down the money, okay, when someone is putting down the money, what exactly are they buying? What are they buying? And more important, maybe, what are we selling? Okay, what are we selling? Well, we're gonna unpack this very slowly. Let's unpack it slowly. Let's understand this slowly. Okay, here's the story. Now, the people running hyphen went to the people running this project, the hyphen project, hyphen hydrogen project, went to the parliament this week. Not this week. What, last week? Yeah, this week. Yeah, this week. To talk to the lawmakers, okay? Their boss, we have Marco Raffinetti, and stood up and told the committee, he told the committee straight, government is not putting money from the national budget. So just to go to make sure that, and then we started to feel as if we feel good now. Okay. Okay. The government is not putting money from the national budget. All right. Thank you. It was a clap of hands. You know, everybody now is happy. Ah, okay. Okay. I'm just exaggerating there. It's okay. Now, the EIF, that is the Environmental Assessment Fund, is holding the government's 24% shares. Okay. It's holding that 24% shares, but the cash to develop this thing, eh? And the cash to develop these things, well, it's not coming from the, it's coming from the Dutch government and the European Union. Grants, they call it. Okay? Free money. Grant from the European Union. Now, Raffinetti told the MPs something like this. Okay? And quote unquote, we are using other people's money to invest. Okay? We are using other people's money to invest, and we are creating value for Namibia without taking any risk. Unquote. He even said, if there are financial experts in the room, this is what they call having someone else carry the risk. That's what he said. That's what Raffinetti said, telling the MPs that of the standing committee, that we are using other people's money to invest and we are creating value for Namibians without taking any risk. Okay. And now let me translate that into a plain Namlish for you. Okay. Maybe you don't get it. Because that is a lot of big talk. What he is saying is Namibia is getting a free ticket into the game. And I'm going to explain that when we come back from this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
All right, welcome back. Time is 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. So, and we're talking about Mr. Raffinetti. Raffinetti, from the hyphen project. So Raffinetti told the MPs, his tent before the standing committee, and he tells the MP that we are using other people's money to invest and we are creating value for Namibians without taking any risk, you know? So, and I was just translating that into Namlish, because that sounds a little bit more, you know, financial. I'm trying to put that into a Namlish a little bit, just to understand that, because, you know, that sounds like a lot of big talk a bit. Now, what he's saying is, I was trying to put that simple, that what he's saying is that Namibia is getting a free ticket into the game. So we are sitting at the table and we have shares in the company. But if the project fall apart tomorrow, we do not lose our school's money. Okay? We don't lose our school's money or our hospital budget. The Dutch and the European lose their money, not us. Okay? So that's what we're saying. So it is the Dutch and the European that's going to lose their money, not us. So now, sounds sweet, isn't it? Sounds, hey, you guys are very clever. Almost too sweet. Almost too sweet, because here is where my nose start to itchy. You know when your nose is itching? Okay? In this life, nobody gives you something for nothing. Even the people that are being, even imagine if being told this way. You know, you're sitting there and someone tells something like that. And you probably, that's good. Nobody gives you something for nothing. Absolutely. Not your neighbor, not your cousin, and definitely not the European government. We are writing checks for a multi-billion dollar project. Not at all. I haven't seen that. You probably haven't seen that. I'm saying it. Not even from your cousin. Not even from your brother. Maybe not even from your mother. You know? Not even from your mother. Let's think about this carefully. Okay? And this is very important, guys. Let's think about this very carefully. The Dutch and the European Union are not charities. All right? I understand what he's saying, but they are not charities. So they are not sending, you know, they are not sending grant money to Namibia because they had extra cash lying around and felt generous, kind of like, hey, man, hey, what do we do with this money just lying around here? Oh, whoa, there's Namibia there. Okay, here's Namibia. Okay, can we send them some grant? You know, what do you think? Oh, yeah, no, that's a good idea. Let's send them some grant. It hasn't happened that way. Okay? It hasn't happened that way. So, they are investing in green hydrogen. They are investing in green hydrogen because Europe needs it. Europe needs green hydrogen. Europe want to get off Russia. This is now something, this is the information that you don't hear. So they're telling you, no, we're getting this as a grant. You know, why? You don't tell us why Europe actually is giving us that grant. Because Europe want to get off Russian gas. They want to get off. They want a clean energy. Okay? Now, let me tell you. This is something now you don't get. You are just told that, okay, we are getting a grant, but why are you getting a grant? And you're telling, no, we're not using our money. Eh? I'm telling you, as I said, Europe is investing. Dutch, and they are investing. This is not charity. If you understand why actually Europe want to stop buying Russian gas, you remember that. Because they're investing in this because they want to stop using or buying the Russian gas. The policy, I think the policy date back to Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Okay? So before the war, Russia supplied around 45% of Europe import natural gas. Okay? So European leaders concluded that after that full-scale invasion of Ukraine, concluded that relying so heavily on Russia posed a major energy security risk. So because Moscow had previously reduced or cut gas supply during the political dispute, whenever there are some political dispute, and then Russia would do that. Moscow would do that. So as a result, the EU launched the Repower Europe strategy. You know? They launched that Repower EU strategy. Now, that strategy is to do what? Is to end dependency on Russia fossil fuel. So, is to diversify gas suppliers. Now, to diversify now gas suppliers, not just depending on Russia. Expand, and that's probably where Namibia would come in, expand renewable energy. Eh? And improve the energy efficiency. Okay? And of course, then increase electrification of transport, you know, transport, heating, you know, those are cold places, and industry. So they want to increase their electrification, in those industry, transport, heating, and industry. Okay? So what the EU has decided, the EU has adopted now a phased approach. So they adopted a phased approach. No new Russian gas contracts are allowed. Existing long-term contracts are being phased out. And the Russian LNG, the import, are to end by the early 2027. Okay? So the Russian pipeline gas import are to end by late 2027. So at the same time, European countries are investing heavily in wind and solar, in wind and solar power. So, and where else they can go to find that? So they were investing heavily in wind and solar power, heat pumps, electric vehicles, and expand electric grids. So energy efficiency measures, as I said earlier on. So you see, so wind and solar power, they were heavily investing in that. So for Europe, this is about more than energy. For them, it's more than energy. It is about national security and reducing Russian leverage over European economies. So it's not that we're just getting grant, right? There is a reason for them behind this. Yeah? So, and Europe need places with a lot of sun and wind to make it. For them to make it, they need a place that have a lot of sun and wind. And where else can they go? Where there's a lot of sun and wind, 365 days? Is it 360 or 365 days? You know, in a year, where else can they find that? Namibia has the sun. Namibia has the wind. We have the land. On top of that, we have the land. And so they are paying for a seat on our table. So they are paying a seat on our table. And then when you hear now speeches like that, you know, it's look like, oh, no, don't worry. As I said, anybody worry me? Yeah. We're not paying for that. We're not paying. Europeans are doing that. They are investing. They are not just giving you a grant. They are investing. All right? So, as I said, so they are paying for a seat at our table. Now, think about this. And I love this. Okay? I really love this. Because if they are paying for our seat, now, we are not paying. We're proudly now talking, hey! Yeah? No, don't worry. We're not paying for this. Now, if they are paying for our seat, do we really own that seat? Now, there comes the question, do we own that seat? Or are we just keeping it warm? Or are they just keeping it warm maybe for, they're keeping it warm for us? Eh? Or we're keeping it warm for them? Eh? Do we own that seat? If somebody's paying for, you know, if somebody's paying for you, do you really, can you really say that you own that? Eh? So what if they stop paying? 24%. That is what our government owns. 24%. That means the other 76% belong to someone else. 76% belong to someone else. Probably the European, probably private investors, probably big company from overseas. Who knows? Now, I'm not a math genius. I love numbers, but I'm not a math genius. But 24 is less than a half. You know? 24 is less than a half. Now, actually, if your view is more a class half empty, you know, there are those people, their view is a class half full or a glass half empty. Then you see 24 is closer to nothing than to everything. You understand? Now that means when big decisions get made. So when you have 24, you know, as I said, that's even less half than half. So that means when big decisions get made, who get the job? Now, when they're making decision, who get the jobs? So the one who earn, the one who own 76% can decide who get the job. Yeah? You can cry all the time, all you want, and saying, we want Namibian local content. You can talk about local content. You can talk about value additions and all that. But who owns? Yeah? Who owns the project? If they want, who owns 76%? Eh? Who get the job? They decide. Eh? Who supplies the steel, for example? They decide. Who moves the money? They decide. Where the profit goes? The people with the bigger slice get the louder voice. Simple as that. Eh? The people with the bigger voice, the people with the bigger slice, get the louder voice. The 76% whoever that belongs to, they get the louder voice. So you can go on and say, hey, whatever, whatever. So that's how it works. This is mine. So when Mr. Raffinette says we are not taking financial risk, I hear him. I definitely hear him. But I also hear what he is not saying. I also hear what he's not saying. We may not be risking cash. You understand? You may not be risking cash, but what are we risking? We could be risking something else. Okay? But we are risking actually something else. So we're not risking cash, but we're risking something else. So one, we are risking our land. Do you understand? We are risking our land. We are risking our water. We are risking our coastline. And here we're risking our time. Because if, let's say for example, if this project takes 10 years to build and then fails, what happened to the land they used? It's just if. Okay? Let's look at one side first. If it fails, what happened to the land they used? What happened to the community that were moved? Because there are some, in some cases, there are people that were moved or moved for develop. You're moved from your land for, give a space, give a space for development, you know? What happened to the community that were moved? What happened to the job that were promised? Yeah? The Dutch and the European Union might write off their grand and go home. You understand? They can write it off. Shell did the same thing, you know? Shell did the same thing when it came to oil and gas. They said, this is not commercially viable. So they changed their mind. And they write off whatever they spent. Yeah? These are big guns. Yeah? They can write it off and go home. So, but we will still be here. That's why we should be very clever in this council. We will still be here, staring at empty pipes and broken promises. Yeah? So we'll be now staring at those pipes that we have built, you know, and broken promises of jobs and whatever. So we're not going to go anywhere. And that is not risk-free. That's not risk-free. That is just a different kind of risk. So we may not risking, you know, cash, but there are the different kind of risk that we are risking. Do you understand? Now, let us talk about things that really caught my attention in this article. Now, the chairperson of the committee in parliament, that's Toby Aupindi. I think it's Toby. Yeah, Toby Aupindi. He said something that I think every one of us, every Namibian needs to hear. All right? He said the project is moving slow. He said there is a slowness that worries him, as he said. And he is not just worried about the project failing. He is worried about Namibian being left out. Mr. Upindi, you're worried Namibian left out. Remember the 67%? Who owned the 67? I mean, the 76%. So, if definitely, you know, if the European and the other investor, maybe foreign investor, owned the 76%, of course, the Namibian will be left out. You only have 24%. That's not even half of, you know, yeah. You will be left out. But Upindi says something very important here. He said, when we talk about local content, we do not mean some shelf company registered in Windhoek with a PO box and a foreign owner hiding behind the Namibian name, because that's happened quite often. We have Chinese companies that are here or any other. You know, could be, we often go just to Chinese, could be other European company, registered in Namibia with Namibian name. an appeal box here. So he means, what he means now, what he means really is that he means black Namibian enterprises, the one who were pushed out by colonial rule and by colonial laws. Eh? So that's what he means. So the ones who never got a fair start. That's what he means. You see, it's one thing to build a big hydrogen plant in the desert. You know, it's one thing. It's another thing to make sure the people welding the pipes, for example, the people driving the trucks, the people serving the food, the people owning the logistic companies. It's another thing to make sure those people are us. Eh? Those people are us, real Namibians, not middlemen. Eh? We seem to have so many middlemen, not front companies. There are so many front companies. They create these companies that can be created in the night. It's another company that's already existing, you know? So it's one thing. We can say this is a Namibian company by name, or these are Namibian people. Just those are middle, you know, those are middlemen. Eh? And I tell you why this is matter. I think that why I see this is matter. We have seen this, you know, seen this movie. Eh? We have seen this movie. We have watched this movie before. Okay, we have seen big minds come. The big mind comes here. Big promises made. And at the end of the day, we have seen that. At the end of the day, the money flows out through the harbor while our people stand in unemployment lines. We have seen that. We watched that movie a couple of times. So we have seen local content become a joke, you know, where Namibian get a subcontract to clean the offices of the real billions. They get subcontract to clean the offices. While the real billions are, you know, they go overseas. And the billions go somewhere else. And what happened? Your kid is sitting at home. Your child is sitting at home. Your cousin, your nephew, or whatever, your father is sitting at home. Because the billion go overseas. Now, so when you pin to say parliament must be intentional about including black enterprises, he is not just talking, you know, politics here. So he's talking about survival. I think he's talking about survival here. He's talking about making sure this project does not become another place where Namibians are spectators. We're just spectators in our own country. And we have been spectators in our own country. We have been spectators, and we are spectators in our own country for many things. Yeah. It pains us. It pains some of us. It really pains some of us. Maybe some of you don't even know that you are a spectator. In your own country. But here's where I see the problem. Here's where I see the problems. And this is what makes this story so interesting. The same parliament that is asking this hard question is also supposed to help the project to succeed. Eh? The very same. They're supposed to help the project succeed. So even Upindi said it himself that if you succeed, Namibia succeeds economically. So they are walking a tightrope now here. So they want to hold the hyphen accountable, but they do not want to scare away the investors. You know, that's why I said they're walking a tightrope here. You know, yes, we want to hold you accountable, but we don't want to push you so much that you walk away. It's like being a parent, you know. Being a parent, you want to discipline your child, but you do not want to break their spirit. You understand? Okay, you want to discipline them, but you don't want to also break their spirit. So, and then there's other thing hanging in the air. There are other things that are hanging in there. You remember our James Nyumpe? You remember him? And he was the Green Hydrogen Commissioner. He resigned. We know that he resigned for a while now. And you remember the Green Hydrogen Council? Its mandate expired. The mandate of that council is expired. Now, when the captain jumped off the ship, so when the captain actually jumped off the ship and the steering committee stopped meeting, people are going to talk. Eh? People are going to talk. And it seems that somehow this project is defending, you know when you're trying to defend yourself, you know, it's defending certain things, you know, that defending that, no, this is working, you know. And people are talking. People are going to wonder if the ship is sinking, isn't it? It's just logical. So the commissioner is gone and has resigned, and the council, the Green Hydrogen Council, its mandate has expired. Of course, you know, a rational person will start thinking, okay, what is going on? Is the ship sinking here? Well, the Hafen people came out and said, panic. So the political support is here. The political support is still here because people are thinking, because there was some speculation that the political support is not, it's not there. That's why he resigned, the commissioner resigned. So there are those speculations. Okay? We cannot really confirm them, but there were those speculations. But from their side, they come and said, that's not, although Dakalindi, Dana Kalindi, although Dana Kalindjodo, inam penikingana denande, the political support is there. So this is just a restructuring, you know, it's just a restructuring thing. Government is just rearranging chairs. So they're just rearranging chairs, and it is causing a bit of slowdown. Yes, it's causing a bit of a slowdown, but nothing serious, okay? Don't worry, really. Nothing is serious. It's just rearranging chairs, okay? The slowdown is because of that. So now, let me ask you this, Namibia. If you are building a house, okay, and your architecture quit, let's take the architecture out. The architecture now quit. And your building council, the building council also stopped meeting. They don't meet anymore. And your neighbors start asking why the cement truck has not come in 3 months. You know, why? And your neighbors, they're asking you these questions. So is there just a perception that things are slow, or is something actually stuck? You can make up your mind. Okay? You can make up your mind. You can see where my question is directed. So they say, now, the Tony Bukers from Hyphen said there's a lot happening in the background. Okay? Yes, you may think this is what, but in the background, that's a lot happening. Could be true. That's what they always say. It's always what they say. So trust us. You know, trust us, things are happening in the background. But we are not in the background. We are not even in the foreground. We are not in the background. We are not even in the foreground. Yeah? We are the ones who need the jobs now. Remember, we are the one who need the job now because that has been promised. We are the one who need answers now, you know. We are the one that really need this now. So here's a question. Here's a question I want you really think about. Okay? I want you to think about this. If the project is healthy, you know, because when I look at this, it's like someone defending. You know, you try to defend when you're trying to defend yourself. And now, if the project is healthy, okay, think about this really. If the project is healthy, why does it need reassurance? Why does it need? Why does it need reassurance? If the political support is strong, why does it need to be defended? Why do we need to defend it? When something is working, you don't need to keep telling people it's working. It just works, isn't it? It just works. You don't need to keep telling people it's working, it's wicked. It just works, isn't it? Yeah, think about that. As I said, I just want to think. Now, I want to bring in this back to you, okay? I want to bring this back to you. You, the ordinary people, the ordinary Namibians. Maybe you are a taxi driver in Katutura. Maybe you are a teacher somewhere in Ohangwena. Or maybe you are a young graduate in Rundu, wondering where your future is. You kind of just wonder, where is my future, really? So you are hearing about billions of dollars, you know, about green hydrogen, about European grant. We're talking about European grant. And you say, hey, we're not spending anything. And you're thinking, what does this have to do with me? You know, what does it have to do with me? It's what it has to do with you. Here is what it has to do with you. Now, if this project works, okay, and we really hope it's going to work. So if it works, and I mean really worked for Namibians, it could change the game, right? It could change the game. It could bring jobs that are not just, you know, digging holes, but building technology. And could bring that difference. Sometimes I need a plate of English, you know, and then money on this side and a plate of English. When I'm running out of words, I can always buy, you know, I can always buy. So that's a difference that it could build technology in Namibia. It could bring skills our children can use for the next 50 years because, you know, those are skills that we need. So, and those are skills that we talk about when we're talking about transfer of skills and things like that. It could put Namibia on the map as a country that does not just export raw things, you know, but makes clean energy for the world. Can you imagine? We being the country that actually make clean energy for the world. It is possible. It is very, very, very possible. And if it becomes successful, you know, it could be able to do that. But, and listen carefully here now. Listen very, very, very carefully. All right? If this project becomes just another pipeline where Namibia is the pipeline and Europe is the pump, then we are wasting our time. We are wasting our time. We are wasting our best land. So our best wind, yeah, is the best in the world. Our best sunshine, it's also the best in the world. And our best chance to build something that belongs to us. Do you remember what I said? This project, if this project becomes just another pipeline, where Namibia is the pipeline, and Europe is the one that is pumping, then there's a lot that we'll be wasting. It's our time, it's our land, it's our wind, it's our sunshine, and really the chances of actually making this, you know, making something that belong to us. Someone just came to harvest our sun and wind. Wind and solar. They just come and harvest. So when the government say, we are not spending your tax money. Okay? I say that, that's good. Okay? But it's not enough. Okay? It's not enough. I want to know, what are we spending instead? Okay, we're not spending money, but what are we spending instead? Are we spending our sovereignty? Are we spending our future profit? Are we spending our right to say no when things go wrong? What are we spending instead? 24%. 24% equity with no money down. We haven't, yeah, sounds like a good deal. Can understand that. It sounds like a good deal. But if other side, now, if the other side own 76% and pay all the bills, now you can ask, now put it this way, who is really the landlord here? And who is the tenant? You have your 24% equity with no money down. Okay? And you have other side owning 76% and pay all the bills. Yeah? So now, who is the real landlord? Who is the landlord? Who is the landlord and who is the tenant? So, I want to, before I let you come, let me ask you a few questions. Yeah? Take them anywhere. Take this question anywhere for your discussion. Take them anywhere for your discussion. Maybe with your friends, with your colleagues, with your, you know, at your dinner table, at, you know, wherever, okay? And discuss. Yeah? Now, if the Dutch, the first question is, and this is what I want you to think. And when you come, you think much broader than just focus on one thing. Now, if the Dutch and the European Union are paying for our share, all right, what do they want in return? Remember what I said at the beginning. This is not charity. Eh? What do they want in return? Or what have we agreed? Or what are we selling? So what Mr. Raffetti? Not Maffetti, but so we are told a sentence that make us exciting, that make us excited, that we're not using our money here. We're not using our money from our national budget here. We're not using taxpayers' money here. Okay? Just to make us that, hey, shut up. Eh? You shut up. We're not using your money here. All right? That's basically it. Shut up. But what do we want? But now, the thing is, as I said, if they are paying for our share, what do they want in return? They don't do this for charity. Eh? Do they get first right to the hydrogen? Possibly. They are the one who get, of course, paying that so much. So they get the first right to the hydrogen. I'm asking, do they get the first right to the hydrogen? Do they... Are the one now they're setting prices? Do they set the price? They are the one with a large share of the pie. Do they decide who get employed? So think about that. Think about that. So we can celebrate to say, oh, we're not spending anything. It's a grant. It comes with strings. Believe me, they don't come cheap. Those grants don't come cheap. So there's no such a thing as a free lunch. You know that. There's no such a thing as free lunch. And there is definitely no such a thing as a free $1 billion project. All right? A free $1 billion project from the European Union or whoever. So think, let's think. Eh? So, Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Big Mike.
Good morning.
Yes, morning, Big Mike.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, my brother.
Yeah. What do you think of England yesterday? It's not coming home at all.
I'm telling you, it's tough time. I think now we can all understand that, yes, the World Cup belongs to Messi.
Yeah.
That is definitely serious. Watching last night game, you can tell the guy's still having it.
Yeah, no.
We thought it's too old, but he's still having it.
Exactly.
I'm telling you.
I I think, and it looks as if they were told that don't give him space, you know?
Yeah.
Every time he has the ball, they have about three or four people actually going towards him.
Going to him, yeah. And then you foul him, everybody will come surrounding you.
Exactly.
How they have been protected even. But,
so, and this time, like what he did with the Egyptians, he went on the right side. And because he knows that in the middle, he won't be able to, you know. And he becomes the supplier. Because there are very other good players in that team. So, yeah. No. So they, I think he was Tuca was too negative. You can't defend, 60 minutes.
No, you can't defend people who have skill.
Yeah,
and for the thing was like performance, I think we can give it to the
total. Yeah.
You know, when you're losing games, then you know best player. Put them on. Look what happened to the coach of England. You know exactly now, when they score, I don't know, come press.
Yeah.
But he keeps Saka and the others exactly. On the bench.
Yeah.
What exactly. Do you expect?
Yeah.
Anyway, let us go to Ivan now.
Yeah.
Is Munyoko resign or he was present because of the lot of questions? Then is where he started like, I'm throwing the tower in. And where is he now today? Where's Munyoko?
No. He actually got, I think, an international position or regional position. I don't know whether it's an international position or regional position, in one of the international company. Yeah, so.
Oh.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
That is still in the country, or maybe immigrate to Tanzania? To Madagascar?
Not necessarily. It wasn't necessarily a Tanzanian thing. Yeah, it was an international, regional, I think it's an regional company. I can't remember the name of that company, but so he was being eyed, they were looking at him, they wanted him. Yeah, so.
Yeah. The way they can talk.
Yeah.
You know how to put this word already. But anyway, when you look at this thing of hyphen, you can tell that, especially when it comes to European, they are desperate with energy. And they know exactly where to get to stand, where to get their share, because there are a lot of African countries who cannot think of themselves.
Yeah.
Including Namibia.
Yeah, as I said earlier on, the background I give of that, the European, they want to stop, being supplied by Russia,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so they have been dependent on Russia for their gas,
I'm telling you, and if you look, the way when that paper was busted, for supplying the gas.
Yeah.
You can see that Germany was pushing like nobody that time of the late AG.
Yeah.
And now
Germany,
you can see
the
slow,
and the Dutch.
And the Dutch, yeah. You can see they slowed a bit after the death of the late AG. Because remember one thing, there was even one thing in Namibia going around to get a fund. For Tobet, that is take off 24%, which you are talking about.
Yeah.
There was something like that. Namibia going around. Even, I think it was coming to aid. It was Denmark, I think. There's a company. I think that company is that one used to make phone.
Yeah.
Sinmen or something. Yeah, they are able to. Yeah, they to partner up with Namibia government.
But
we are getting for free now.
Yeah. Now the European Union has given Namibia a grant.
Yeah, now we are getting for free.
Yeah, so we get
No, it's not a loan anymore. It's not a loan anymore. You see, this is the thing which I'm saying, as African, especially Namibia, we support to demand. It's what I'm saying. We can even go to the table now to demand our genocide regarding the German. Yeah, because now, remember, Germans, they are having a lot of money on site. But whatever even they are offering to Namibia, especially when you come to genocide, it's something else. But when you look at how they need our energy is so much.
Mm.
Because they are, there was even something like now, Namibia and the, I mean, Germany going to what? Kenya. But if you look at the demographics of Kenya and Namibia, who's close to Germany? So, EA is about 2,000 what kilometers or mile to Berlin. Look at Kenya. And now, Namibia, there was like a kind of competition between Namibia and Kenya because who's going to get it first? But for us, when you look at us, we have a desert, which is just right there. And that desert is where wind is blowing every time. That's why we're having those dunes in the desert. But if you put a wind power there, them and they know already that they position themselves for like, yes, in Namibia we're able to get A, B, C, D, compelling to Kenya.
Yeah.
So it's about us also to come to the table to demand what we want as a Namibian. Not just to be told that you are not going to what? You're only going to get 24% and you are not going to pay anything.
Mm.
Yeah, what does it tell you? A person who is able to think, why these people are so much interested in to give you 24% without you paying anything?
Yeah.
There's nothing for charity, my friend.
No.
There's no charity.
There's nothing like
at
that.
All.
There's nothing. The question is, what are you giving up instead?
You know, exactly.
There is something you're giving up.
Yeah. I'm telling you. That's why if you are getting 24% in your natural resource.
Yeah, and these things normally don't come to light. They don't come to light. We're just told no, don't worry. This is not coming from your tax.
Your
it's
pocket.
Not coming from your pocket. You know,
yeah,
and we should be now. We should be excited. Okay, we're making actually. Mm. You know, we're not risking our money. Where do we get? Where do you get that? You know,
where did you
can get something for free. You know,
for free, without you giving up something.
Mm. Yeah, you're giving up something. You know.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's what I'm saying now. Even if you want a girlfriend, my friends, if you are penniless, you end up not dating that girlfriend.
Exactly.
Because you have to take her to dinner.
No, girlfriend is not cheap. Girlfriend is not cheap, my friend.
Anymore. Yeah, it's not even cheap to date somebody anymore.
You're even going too far. That's even too far.
Yeah.
Girlfriend is very expensive, my friend. Oh.
And now we are here, told you to get it, and we are getting for free.
Yeah.
I don't buy it, that seriously.
Yeah.
And the fact is that, like, when you look at how the things are moving, sometimes as a Namibian, I think we need to demand like a 50-50. Whether you put your money, it's my natural resource, isn't it?
Yeah, but do you have the money? That's the question. What I always say is this: look, we have this resource, ne? We have these resources, and sometimes what we can plan in a way that okay, we know we have these resources. We can even ask other outside people to do the exploration and all that. Now we know that we do have it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we can prepare ourselves. Okay. Let's get people. First of all, it take about 2 to 3 or 4 or 5 years. Let's get people. Let's send people outside to really study about how to get out these things. Okay.
Exactly.
First of all, we send people. So what would we need in 10 years or in 5 years? What will we need? Then slowly, we start to invest in those infrastructure slowly. All right. Then we will have already, we wouldn't ask the people to build a refinery for us. We would ask the expert to come and help us, you know, how do we refine oil, you know? So we would ask people to come and do that for us, to help us, but we have the refinery, eh?
Mm.
We have budgeted for 5 or 10 years. We can be able to build it if we budget for 10 years. Now, we have the resources. And we want it out now. We don't have the resources to do that. And then the company that have the resources, they would actually say, okay, no. I will charge you this much for, I'm going to spend much of my money, my resources, you know, and you expect me now you to have 50-50? No way. Yeah? We have time. Why are we rushing?
That is my question always I'm asking, that guys, are we jealous to the next generation of Namibia or what?
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, I want to take everything on one time. I was also referring to this.
We're not taking anything. We're making a deal that it doesn't help us. It gives us a little bit of something, but it doesn't help us in the end.
It doesn't help us. Not at all.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's all about job creation, and the job will come. People are not even paid well. That's the thing which I'm always saying. No, guys, other countries are paying up for, like the nuclear, they are taking from uranium. They are peeling up there in China for the next generation. When they come, they say, yes, this is what our forefather lived for us. What are we living for our kids as a Namibian?
Yeah.
Apart from there was a mine here mining what gold.
Yeah. And when you're asking that question, there are people who are not thinking about that question seriously, you know, and they don't look at the trajectory of our economy. Where are we going? Yeah.
Mm.
So we're not growing. Even if we're growing, we're growing so slowly.
Slowly.
Eh?
And they're just on the paper even.
Yeah, and that's exactly. That's just on the paper, not in your pocket. Yeah. Eh?
Not in, exactly.
Yeah.
It's an issue. Even that, whatever you call it, green energy, it's not really going to transform Namibia.
No, the way you're putting it is that it will
be a pipeline, then we are a pipeline, then the tap is somewhere in Berlin.
Yeah.
That is what is going to happen. And that example of what we see, what is happening to our mine, which we have already. Even this oil which is coming, my friend, I don't think it will be a beneficial to Namibia, because we are supposed even to think about already like what, where we can get money for refinery. You have oil here, and then it's going to be refinery where somewhere else, and it come back to Namibia. Do you think it will change even the how we pay per liter?
Hmm.
It will not change anything.
Yeah.
And we have an example of those things which are already happening.
We have fish. We have plenty of fish.
Yeah. You see now.
And fish are not cheap. And we don't even eat the best fish that we get out of our sea. It's being eaten by some other people in other countries. We have examples.
I think we need to start asking ourselves questions before we sign some deal like that.
Yeah, I know. We first of all, it's we need education. We need conscientize young people's mind, the new leaders that are coming, you know, we need to have a different mindset if we really want to make a difference in our society.
But you see, the problem also in Namibia is that we don't talk the way young people of behave. I mean, we don't dance to their tune.
Yeah.
We're supposed to play a song which they can understand.
Yeah.
Well, remember, even for us, this is what I say, even the people who are always campaigning, you have to come up with a new strategy. This is the old way. You know, our generation move from there, and the new generation, if they are playing Amal piano, why don't play Amal piano, and why do we have to play Kwasa Kwasa? Yeah, who's going to listen to you?
So we keep playing Kwasa Kwasa, yeah?
Yeah, that is the problem. Anyway, Michael, let me give other people a chance to come through.
All right, thanks for coming through, yeah?
All right.
Great. 08333-66091, 08333-66091. That's the magic number. you can always call if you want to talk to me in the studio. So, 0833 366 091. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, my darling.
Your voice is very, very, very low.
It's very cold, my friend.
So then we won't hear you. We won't hear you. So
I'll just raise up my voice.
Yeah, no, I can hear you better now, yeah.
Otherwise, how is the morning?
So the morning so far so good. It's a lovely country. Namibia is a very, very, very lovely country. So we love being here. So yeah. If you're not happy in Namibia, where else could you be happy?
Thank God for the political stability and peace.
Yep.
Now that contributes to our loving and our being patriotic. And just to be here. And many people, I've heard from many people coming and say, oh, you guys, you are blessed.
Yeah.
So why? Well, you are blessed because things are moving well. There are also opportunities for development, investment, and making business. I've spoken to a lot of people that used to move around with my colleagues especially from Zimbabwe. When we move around this year, selling our few things, so they say, okay, it's not fine, but employment, guys, you must be thankful to God. Because of this thing. Then I say, okay. So now it's very important that, yes, when you are getting into business,
yeah,
people always look at the risk, you know. Either the risk of losing money that you want to invest, or maybe your energy or whatever.
Yeah.
So they always look at those kind of things. And the risk of investing, especially when it comes to this capital-intensive kind of venture.
Mm.
And they always want to make sure that they are always going to put more money there.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, even if you lose, at least, you have some kind of,
security
is minimized.
Yeah.
So when I was looking at this hyphen or whatever,
hyphen hydrogen project, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at it and then, people were talking and things like that. Then it's almost the same applied to issues of mining, exploration, mining and things like that. And then when people, if you put, let's say now, I'm getting into the venture with you. Maybe we joint venture.
Yeah.
And we want to develop a project. And you come and put, let's say, 10% in that investment because it's a joint venture. All of us have to contribute.
Yeah.
And then me, I only have about 10%. And you are able to put, let's say, whatever.
80% or 90% now, yeah.
Yes. And you know that this project is viable. I don't have anything, but I have perhaps maybe the land is mine, and many, many other things is mine. I'm the one who is holding the rights holder or whatever you call them. And if you are, as I'm putting 10% in that project, and the results, the out is going to benefit all of us because we need to now come into the agreement and say, yes, when it's realized, this is exactly what you're going to get, maybe in terms of in relation to the government. So they always look at how many employment are going to be created in a generation of wealth and through those things.
But do you know that now? Do you know that the one who have the majority share? So let's say for example, who have the 90%. So he would be the one to decide. If he said, okay, who are the engineers that we're going to have? It won't be depending on the one who have 10%. It will depend on the one who have 90%.
No, it depends on how we negotiate, how we strike the balance.
Now it's looking at the risk yeah, of that kind of share of what you own in the project. So it's looking at the risk of how much you own and how much power do you have to influence decisions. That's very important.
Yes. I understand. That's an issue. So, for example, you are a very good negotiator.
Yeah.
If you don't have expertise, maybe like engineer that you're talking about, you can still bring your engineer. But that does not mean that my engineers here, when they become available or available, I'm not able to employ them. So you still have to bargain in terms of employment, in terms of many other concessions.
Mm.
So it does not mean that because you have this money, you can bring your expert.
Yeah.
And maybe if I have to bring my own expert, so then how do I pay them? I'll pay them with money from where? If I only have 10% that I want to put in there. So bring your engineer or expertise to develop the project. When it's grown or when it's fully at that stage.
Yeah. So can you just hold on for a quick commercial quickly?
All right,
welcome back.
The value addition that you were talking about, they put little money. And the value addition and all these other things, it is Namibia who is going to benefit from those things. Okay, in terms of now after the project is in full swing.
Yeah.
So all these other things, Namibia will benefit. How will Namibia then benefit from all these other things if you are put in 10%, like you were saying? So they will benefit, maybe through loyalty, through all these other things. How will then they come to benefit if you have only put 10%?
Hmm.
Of course, you will benefit from this loyalty, from the employment, creation, work creation, and all these other things. But you have only put 10%. How will then it be... How does it become 60% at the end of the day? So this is how you make business. If you want to get into the venture and you know that you have the fear of risking your money, the negotiation process now for you to be on the better side, you now put in little money so that even if it does not go well, at least you will not lose. Or because many governments, like Namibia, what I have seen and I've learned about these things, so they put little money just in case if they think that doesn't work, because there's no way you can now go to the social security or the money that goes to the other, to cater for the other needs, maybe hospital or roads and things like that.
Yeah.
You now go and remove it and then divert it to the project where you now need to put 90%, and if it doesn't work, that means you have created a big blunder there.
Mm.
So you put little money in the risk business, so that at the end of the day, if it doesn't turn good, then you will not lose much.
Yeah.
That's how they do it in the business.
So, and when it become more profitable?
And
you
become more profitable.
And your share is this small?
It can be small. Because you are looking at many other avenues like employment, they are the loyalty, and many other things. And people can also come in and buy shares if you want. The others are now putting more money there, and they leave the hospital without money, medicine, medication.
Yeah.
That's how business works. So we should not, obviously I understand, and this concept was explained properly. Put money 10% there, or whatever little money that you put there, in those kind of venture that you know, there is a possibility of a high risk. The probability is higher. That then, so this is for you to be more wise on that side, you put little money. And then, of course, you are going to benefit. Your benefit can come from different avenues. So I just think that, like you were mentioning now, that the value of this will, and all these things are going to be accumulated to the Namibians. Is that not good enough? After you have put little money?
Yeah.
I just think so. So thank you very much.
So thanks for coming through. 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. That's the number, the magic number that gets you to the studio. And have a chat with me and have a conversation. So the other things that I was just to round up I was just asking a few questions to help us thinking broader. And issues that emanate from these discussions. So the other thing is the government is not spending its own money. All right, it's not spending its own money now. Maybe that's what Uncle Bon is talking about. But what about later? You know, what about what happens when the projects move from development now to production? So at some point, someone has to put in a real cash, isn't it? You know, so would that be us? Then would that be us? Or will we have to borrow money to keep our 24%? And if we cannot pay, do we lose our shares? Those are things that we need to know. So this is how countries actually end up owing nothing in their own, owning nothing in their own backyards. So you have things, but you own absolutely nothing on it. You can't make decision on it, because you might not be on the table. If you're on the table, you are on a silent side where you can't say anything because your percentage doesn't allow you to make a decisions. Or even if you have suggestion or what could be, you know, those who are in charge, you know, decides, you know, the owner decides. Yeah. So it's the very same thing. If you say, for example, you have a Chinese company that own 90% of the mine, you know, and you own 10%, you are not in a position where you decide, okay, guys, can we process here in Namibia? Can we have a processing plant here, or can we have a factory here, or? You know, of course, as I agree with Uncle Bwana in terms, say, you know, as a, you can negotiate, you know, with how you can have a better negotiator to get much out of the business that you're doing. Yeah, definitely. So, but eventually, the owner, you know, could decide, no, we do processing in China. Of course, he's the owner. There's nothing you can do. He's own 90. He own now 91. He own 90% of the mine, and the contract goes 30 years. You know, still 30 years to go. And normally, these contracts are long. You know, so as I said, this is how countries end up owning nothing in their own backyard. Yeah. So you see, you know, there's nothing you can say. Eh? And then sometimes we come here and blame the government. Why the government is not doing what? But yeah, it's the people that you send to negotiate. Eh? So we have agreed to that, and there's nothing that we can do. You have nothing to eat. But the resources are being, you know, loaded up in truck and go to the sea. Yeah, it's happening all over. It's happening all over in Africa. So the other question is also looking at, okay, let's go to the caller quickly. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, my brother. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
You see, you can be a very skillful negotiator.
Yeah.
You can negotiate however you know, whatever you want to negotiate.
You can only negotiate within in a certain framework, you know?
Yes, but you negotiate when it comes to traditional culture.
Yeah.
You negotiate using examples of using the tools of your culture or your tradition.
Mm.
You will tell me that in our Shindonga culture or Kwanyama culture or Kwangari culture or Shiwambo culture, you must mention that. This does not work, or we do it this way.
Mm.
Those are the tools which will help you, you see, to win the negotiation. Now, when it comes to government issues, you can bring millions of negotiators.
Yeah.
But if there is no policy which support your negotiating skills, because you must reference that one.
Yeah.
You see, if you say that, no, our policy or our whatever says that, you cannot, once you mine here, you cannot export raw materials. You can put anyone there.
Yeah.
You see? To negotiate. But you can negotiate, they can tell you, yes, we understand you, but is there a policy which can prevent us? You see?
Yeah.
Because what you have to do first is that's why people will blame the government, actually. You see? Or the party which is governing this country. Mm. We will blame them. Because once you fail to put a policy, even in your house, everyone will just come and do whatever they want.
Mm.
Because you must put boundaries, you must put policies there, which are the tools. Even when we read when we talk about God, what do we use? It's the Bible. Because even a pastor, if you preach without saying something which is in the Bible, people will not believe and say, "Aye, you are just saying something which you don't know, maybe." Or you know, but you must refer them to a verse in the Bible for them to understand this true. It's not what you are teaching them in accordance with what the verse is saying.
Yeah, it's okufape kofi.
Yes, that's it. Now to us, we want we send delegates, negotiate. It's not even necessary. If you go to China now, they have their policy in place. You will talk to it. It will respond to you. You don't need even to meet them.
Yeah.
It is there. You see? They will tell you the do's and the don'ts. Then you end up, maybe if you say, please, I know it's the don'ts, but can't we? They will tell you, no. Yes, in that one, maybe we'll look at it, but what? Why are you saying that? What? Yes, at least, because there should be a stepping stone already.
Mm, yeah.
You cannot just send delegates. They come there, sit at, drink tea, or whatever they eat there. From there, they say, please. Are you negotiating with the word? Once you start with the word, please, you are begging, you are not negotiating.
You know, the other challenge is this, ne? Whether you're thinking in terms of oil and gas, you're thinking of green hydrogen, these are new fields in Namibia, and we don't have actually expert. So even if we're putting up policies, actually people who are helping us to put up policy are coming from the people who actually want to do business with us. Do you understand that?
I understand. That's why we must not be there yet.
Yeah.
Until we send people, or we have people who we send people to study or to learn from those people, what is actual oil and gas? How do we deal with it?
Yeah.
You see?
Exactly.
Yeah. We can use it. Then those people will have the know-how how to negotiate.
Mm.
You see? That's how it works. You see, even the Europeans, they did not back up. They sent people to learn or to know or to familiarize themselves with African cultures and behavior.
Yeah.
Before they came here. You see? You will find all Germans who speak fluent Osherero, fluent whatever, Damara.
Mm.
You will find these missionaries who will speak fluent, Okwambi, Rukavango, fluent. They know the guts of the people. When they go back, they tell them, no, if you want to how can I say now? To go there, just, those people like A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
When that one come, he know, even if he set up a shop or whatever, he know what you want.
Mm. And who are the people you need to see first, you know, before you actually make a decision? Who are the people you need to consult? You know, they understand, they would understand the culture and they would be more accepted. First. Yeah.
Yes, they never just flew with an aeroplane Burugu to in Angola or in Namibia. Say, listen here, we want it. It could have been a fatal war. That's why they sent, you see, missionaries, they sent traders, they sent whatever, just for them to come and assess the situation first.
Yeah.
And learn how we behave. And remember, there were ethnic groups here. You find Hereros, Namas, Damaras, Vamp. Then they must learn. They must, you see, divide in groups. To say, okay, if you go in there, not start with church. Here, start with what? Here, start with marry them even. You see, to know, to get what? Go marry him, but don't worry. Or Durango lady, don't worry. You see, as long as you get citizenship first. You see, those are the things. But to ask you just, Burugu, you go there. Like that. You see? You don't negotiate, you just go. We want to do the same also. You go to China, you don't even understand. You go on what is this on...
There's a quick commercial coming up. No, just hold on.
Okay. Okay.
This winter, Washambamo is turning your shopping into winning. Spend 200 Namibian dollars or more at any shop in Washambamo and you could win a 500 Namibian dollars shopping voucher every Friday. The more you shop, the more chances you have to win. Don't miss out. Visit Washambamo in Ondangwa from 3rd to 31st July 2026. Shop, enter your till slip with your name and number into the competition box located in the mall. And stand a chance to win a shopping voucher from Washambamo. Don't miss our lucky winner live draw on Eagle FM every Friday from 1500 hours.
All right, welcome back. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, that is a problem because look, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
China's account, let me say, you talk about EU, European Union.
Yeah.
When we talk about union, to them it is really a reality. To us, African Union is just, let me say, something which doesn't even exist in reality. Let me say, if African countries are invited for a business summit in, let me say, a country like Russia, once they go there, Russia maybe wants to open mines, a mine, whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, what they want to know is even how our labor system works here. Now, you will see, look, African leaders act like those conductors, these taxi drivers at P1.
Yeah.
You see, serious, let me tell you, because if you come there with your private car if you go there, all of them will think they are united, you see?
Yeah.
They will come with that claim and say, hey, they are fair. What will come in their mind is maybe you are taking a customer. You see? But the moment you say, no, I have someone going to Swakop, you know what will happen? They will turn against each other already. You see? Grabbing, go and jump, they go. You see? They will say, you turn the wheel like that. They were in unison. Once they approach you, say, hey, well, you just lie to them and say, no, I need one person. They will come like fighting me, all of them. But once you say that, no, I was joking. I have this person who is going to help us by. Then they change. To them, when they come from me, it's fine. When they land there, someone will just say, no, how does your policy work? How is your constitution? They will start fighting against each other. Someone from Malawi said, no, in Malawi, we are the best. When it comes to labor, you can work even. What do you want to open? No. We have even labor hires in Abidjan. You see? Yeah, even whatever, just go. Because they will start fighting each other using their policy. Which one is the best? No, what you call the best is a waste to them. You see? Or to your people. That is the problem. But whether they come or if they have one mission, one goal, and one vision, all of them.
Yeah.
If they say let us use euro, they use euro. When will we use African country? Leave the border first. One African country, currency. Eh? We would have started even with SADC, but we will never do that. Eh? This unit, but how can we fight this? How can I say now? exploitation coming via this business, what nonsense, or development or investment. We will not. Even here in Namibia, we will not. You see, we will not, because we believe in, we, Kamangos, we, who, we, Damaras, we have still have that mentality. We have it. You see, we don't,
but
because the government...
When you talk about in terms of... shouldn't our, maybe, what, sometime when you, when I'm thinking that maybe our political system or ideology should actually follow the way the African are. So we are more ethnical kind of, mind, not mind, but the way the, our social grouping is more ethnical than the way it has been now. You know, constructed by political, by the current political system.
You see, sometimes we should understand. Look, when we talk about, you see, something, the thing which can hold you strong, which can keep you strong, is unity. Let me start with politics.
You speak. You sound far now, a little bit far. Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Now we can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. What I'm saying is, when you want to conquer or to achieve your goal, the only weapon which can make it happen is unity.
Yeah.
You see? But let us start in Namibia, here, as small as we are. You see? Political parties. Maybe we have 25 political parties registered with EGM. 25. Imagine. Come to churches. You can't even know the number. You see? Religious. Maybe we are over 1,000 churches. Come to traditional authority. In Namibia, registered, maybe 51, if I'm not mistaken. You see now, come to trade unions. How many are they now?
Yeah.
You see, but before independence, we have maybe you can hear, when you talk about political party, maybe it was 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Or 3. You see, churches, we knew only Elsin, Lutheran, Catholic, maybe in full gospel somewhere there, maybe 5, 6. You see, trade union, we knew it was just Nafau, maybe MUN, maybe it was 5, 4.
Yeah.
That's why those, they can work together. They work together. Come to student movements. We had maybe Nanzo, you see. In fact, because people joined one and they had one aim. But now, you will find this student union here, Islama, whatever, which came now, which I never had. You see, you will have sushi. Activists at this side, student movements are not, you cannot control it. Churches are even under peace. You see, you don't know where to. How do you want to go forward? Yeah? How do you want to move? Because first you must unite first, starting from home. Yeah. Even if someone, let me say, the president went to China, but there are people with good ideas, but who are in opposition parties. What is so difficult for a president to say, look here, leaders of opposition party, can we sit? Because you have a common goal. You see? Bring them in, okay, traditional authority, trade union, churches. I will be going to China next year or within 6 months. Or after next, let me say next month. Can you also give me something to take along? You see? If not one of them, just something on black and white. Did she do that? No. Because sometimes you don't want that to happen, but you know that at least what will take this country forward is if we work together. But it won't happen. Then you want people to unite it on the ground. It won't happen because you must lead by example also as leaders. I want to see one day the president calling those people, all of them, and say, look here, we are talking about development. We want this. Give me what you... Then we will know that, You see, even if you don't like them, at least we don't like them, but we will be happy if what they are... How can I say now? What they want to achieve or what they want you to go and tell the Chinese is good. But you go alone with those people whom you favor. Tomorrow we are back to square one. If you want a project, you do it alone. Tomorrow those people will complain because for you also just to say no, if we fail, we fail together. If we win, we win together.
All right.
Then in parliament, it will not be something about oil and gas and so, because why do they do that? You don't include them in. You don't invite them. You don't make them part and parcel of the decision making.
Yeah. So
I
think sometimes it's the, when you look at, I think, as I said, we sometimes adopted the system that that really hasn't changed anything that improve the way improve our lives in any way. So even let's say, for example, the process of coming up with a law or even with a budget, you know, there should be a pre-engagement of, let's say, for example, of MPs, okay, of different or from different parties before you even tabled it. It become it's gonna be faster because they have already been involved from the preparation of the budget. You understand? So it's the same thing with the policies. Involve, as you're saying, involve this. So when you table it, it has already been, you know, you have been consulted widely already from different stakeholders. It become more easier and quicker. The reason even sometimes we haven't passed laws, you're just bringing them. They haven't seen it. And then they started actually criticizing, you know, and it takes longer and longer and longer. You know, that's in terms of involving everybody, all different stakeholders, consulting them before, that would be a better way of actually sometimes dealing with some of the issues that we're dealing with. Consulting, as you're saying. Yeah.
You see, if you look at SONAS, how many SONAS did we have in Namibia? During SONAS, when you will hear an opposition party leader telling the president what is lacking or what was not achieved in a certain area. You see now? Because the president, I don't know where they get those, what they read and say, no, we achieved ABCD. Because they only rely on those who are close to them.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes they get surprised when someone comes and says, Your Excellency or Your Excellency, are you aware that at this certain area there is something ABCD which was not achieved by the government? Now, what will happen is now a defensive mode. You see now? Reaction.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah. Instead to say that, okay, look here, you opposition party or political party, you have people in the constituency. What I want is peace before SONA. Go and do research, go and consult with the people, say what is lacking. If you need, then go and deal it with a certain director of that region and hand it to the minister, you see, to consider it whether it should be included in the budget or not. Then when the president comes and he says, you see, I gave this to a minister and so it was ignored. Then we'll see whether the president will deal with that certain minister or not. You see? Because I will say that no, told her that there is no road and so on, through whatever the governor was consulted and so they know and we submitted to the minister, she had it on the table, but she failed to deal with that issue. You see? Then that's where the president, I think, it will be easier for him or for her to remove that minister, you see, from that position. Because you have been ignoring people's lives, you did not act because you were favoring where only your comrades or whatever was, how can I say, where councillors or whatever, and you ignore this, but we are talking about Namibians, regardless of their political affiliation.
Yeah.
That is leadership, but seriously, during SONA is when you tell me what happened, what is the use of having it, even SORA. You see, the region is supposed to deal with that one through SORA, submit it to the president, then SONA comes after SORA from all 14 regions.
All right.
Yeah. But you will see, we start with SONA, then end up with SORA. How now?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so, thank you, my brother.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming through, okay. Yeah. Yeah. 08333 66091. 08333 66091. All right. If you want to engage on some of the issues that we are discussing. All right. We were looking at the. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mr. Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes, I'm outside listening. He is listening.
Oh, is it Tete France?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome. So how are you?
Yes, look, we cannot afford to be ethnical in Africa.
Yeah.
Whether another ethnicity has better ideology on something.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the Europeans,
Okay, before let me give you something. Okay, this is just to expand. Yeah, I want you to expand. Okay, given how the border has been drawn, these are European have just actually created the border that it doesn't actually reflect, you know, the way how you know how the establishment of the people of that particular region. Countries were referred to Oshilongo Shaukwanyama. It's like Akwanyama, it was like more like a country. Akwambi, it was more like a country. Okay? So wouldn't have been that, you know, that if you look at Europe, the Greeks or the English, the what, wouldn't you say those were ethnic and they were now kind of like the English now become the England country? It's not like they are mixed with the Greek or the Italian. So wouldn't it have been the same thing looking at more on an ethnically base in developing a country rather than actually, you know, the way we are now?
It was like supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
But there are two things that we did that helped the Europeans to come and carve it up because our economies were not integrated.
Yeah.
Look, in Europe, ethnicity was an economy by itself. If you look at the Slavic countries in the East, they have a different culture. Looking at the Western Anglo-Saxon, you know, kind of, you know, tribal formations.
Yeah.
Then you have the Nordics. And so all these people were different cultures. But what made it easier for them is that their economy was integrated.
So when you say integrated, is it integrated within, can you explain that? Let me not presuppose what you would say. What do you mean integrated?
Look, we had the same system because these people had the same economic system.
Yeah.
We had the barter system in Africa, which is the oldest form of economy. Now, if you say the Ukwambi as a country, as a kingdom,
yeah,
it was a kingdom on its own. It was its own economy.
Yeah.
But we destroyed that because we started fighting to be integrated in Western system.
Yeah.
By wanting to work for the whites and getting wages from them. And we didn't know that we were destroying ourselves by doing that. And then we come back and say we are being colonized. So, but had we stayed in our own line,
yeah,
and they stayed their own line, we would have developed our own, you know, culture by then. It would have grown.
Yeah.
And by the time of modernization, we would have embedded our culture in this modern economy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now we have nothing to mix this economy with. So, and we have no choice but to go through this political system because this one Namibia, one nation, is a political system.
Exactly, yeah.
That has realigned everyone to be in one, you know, like the sort of like in with it, it has copied and pasted that as in one page, which is safe that way because if everyone remain, if now we think Gairas, Kwambis, even among the Oruambo, ethnicity itself, you will see that there will be one ethnicity that is going to be more, you know, wealthier,
yeah,
and the other one will be impoverished. So to avoid that, we have decided to make one Namibia, one nation.
Yeah.
Because the more impoverished other people become, the more violent they become. And you see raids as they have been.
Yeah.
Now, in this, that's why even our negotiation is a little bit tricky. Because you don't expect an African to negotiate on a power or on a leverage when all you have is diamond that is not processed?
Yeah.
Mm. Number one, you cannot process it. You don't have the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
Number two, even if you have the capacity, the market is not yours. So where do you stand? You stand at the bottom of the food chain. Now, this is the bottom of food chain when it comes to leverage.
Yeah.
You don't have...
Why can't, Uncle, that's France, why can't I go to Germany and say, you know, depending now, because the German can come here and say, look, you have air, you have wind, and that... You can actually become a producer of green hydrogen to our country, for example. They realize that this is something we need, and we would like to invest in this. Why can't I go to German or to Dutch and said, you actually, from where you are now, you need green hydrogen, for example. You need this green energy, and I have air and wind and sunshine the whole year. So, and now I'm going to develop this with their support to support them from the need that I identified. So you understand. So no matter how long that's going to take me, do you see the approach where you're coming from rather than, you know, where you just now sitting at the bottom, as you said?
Yeah, but look. They're sitting on the bottom in as much as the Europeans have developed a system to keep Africa on that bottom.
Yeah.
Or at that bottom. When you flip the side of the other side of the coin, you see that this is also self-inflicted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because it is self-inflicted, not as such as that is what people want.
Yeah.
It is because you are now at a line of defeat.
Hmm.
Because number one, you don't have the capacity to, you know, produce something in a semi-product, as a semi-finished product.
Hmm.
You still need machinery and tools and systems.
And experts.
And expertise built by the same person. So that person gives you almost 90% of what you need. So in as much as you have 100% of what they need, the fact that they give the 90% of what you need for you to give what they need, you are not in capacity to have leverage.
Yeah, you are not in the position of power.
No, you are not in a position of power.
To negotiate. Yeah.
You can't negotiate because everything about you is donated. You receive grant to develop that wind.
Hmm.
You receive grant to be able to capture that sun, you know, power.
Yeah.
And now, what will you say when it comes to export of that?
Yeah.
You will not have any power because you are exporting what?
Yeah, even now. Okay, just while you are there. So now, when we have then a politician going around and said, you know, we need local content, we need value addition, we need that these things are not, our minerals are not taken out, are not just taken out in a raw form. That's just a pure talk because you are not in control of that. If they decided we want to take it out a raw form, they would.
Yes, because you are just being a politician.
Yeah.
And you are just being a Facebook page. Politicians, African politicians are just like WhatsApp admins. You only have power to remove and to add somebody.
Yeah.
That's only the power they have. So, yeah. And you can't, in that level, you can't have power when it comes to leverage, because it's not about power to talk.
Mm.
It's a leverage that even in your silence, you are still talking.
Mm.
There are people that have shut their mouths long time ago, but their silence is still talking.
Yeah.
And it's in fact louder than when they were speaking using their mouths. So that's how powerful leverage is.
Yeah.
Because leverage, you don't need to open your mouth to speak. You just need to be absent or present at a given point in time. And then everything is in place. And that's what Europe did very well. While we were busy chasing after spirits of ancestors, appeasing them, they were busy building economic systems. And when we woke up from that, because we realized that we are spending so much appeasing spirits
yeah.
that are giving us zero results. From that, but it was too late.
Yeah.
And when we woke up from that, we wanted to fight now to be included in their system. And they are saying, look, we can't include you in our system. You need to give up that or this, because that is not in our standard. We have standards. And we started fighting, and we say it's colonialism. So we picked up weapons. We went to fight for what we don't understand. And when we came to negotiate, we realized we don't know even what we are talking about.
So all we got was
political power.
Yeah. What are you saying? Realistically, if we're talking about sometime we don't want to speak the truth. Think of let's take South Africa for example. So it was managed by a white minority, and it grew. The economy of South Africa actually grew to a level of more or less, you can say, developed country, more or less. Okay. But then when the governance was given to the black people, the whole thing just, as we see now, the economy is falling apart, which is exactly the same thing here.
Yeah, because we were fighting for what we don't have the capacity to maintain. And that's the truth. Because we didn't sit down. We went outside to fight out of anger.
Yeah.
It was anger. When you put anger ahead, because anger without knowledge or wisdom is useless anger. Because even if you win, your victory becomes worthless, because you win to come and do what?
Yeah.
So we were supposed to have stayed and studied, understood what is this system. And if you want to take over, how do we take over?
Mm.
So what is the end game? Of having, okay, we got independence. What is next? Our fathers didn't know where to start. In fact, when we got independence, our fathers in Namibia didn't know where to start. They had to be assisted by the Zimbabweans. The president of Zimbabwe was the one that was sent, the one that is currently on chair now.
Yeah.
He was the one that was sent to help us set up these things. So, and it is not just an Namibian issue, it's an African issue.
Yeah,
we
no,
got
definitely.
Independence. Ghana was powerful. It was a powerful economy. And until we took over, so when we take over out of desperation of wanting to be in power. But we don't have the wisdom and the capacity to run the system, because that system is somebody's grandfather that set it up. Our grandfather is not part of that. So, but if we could have stayed in our local economies, we could have adopted our own traditional means.
Yeah.
And then that traditional philosophy, we could have embedded it with modern economy, with the modern economic philosophy. That's how others have done. So, the only thing that makes me laugh about Europe is the Greeks.
Yeah.
If you look at the Greeks, they are the first nation among Europeans. They were the wisest people.
Yeah.
Who produced, when we're talking about intellectual property, we cannot talk about intellectual property in the world without Greeks.
Yeah.
Every philosophical word, every terminology is Greek. But where is Greece today? The economy is in shambles. In fact, when they went to fight there's a battle that they went to fight and they lost miserably because they sent philosophers at the battle. So, philosophy doesn't fight. And how the Anglo-Saxons, who were the fewer people, they became an empire. Right. How? Because they didn't have much intellectually, but they had much technically. They were technically feeble people.
Yeah.
They were technically wise. And that's how they could take over the world and rule as an empire. That was supposed to be Greek. We were supposed to...
And you don't have any country colonized by Greek anyway.
No. Yeah. You see, we were supposed to have been speaking Greek right now. Because they are the first countries, they are the first nation to build philosophies.
Yeah.
Every philosophy is built on their on their contribution.
Exactly.
They neglected the other part, like just like us.
Yeah.
We were too much spiritual, just like they were too philosophical. And then when they woke up, it was too late. Just like when we woke up, we were too much after spirit.
Hey, we don't look like we have woke up still.
Maybe we are still waking up.
We are still waking up, actually.
But we were too much in the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, appeasing spirits, the spirit of what. And we neglected the technical and other part.
Yeah.
And when we woke up from there, we went to fight. We came back. We sit on the table to talk. We don't have what to say. We don't have the language. We don't understand what is being said. Because we did not spend time studying the system and how to bring it down. The last thing I can give you the example is Japan.
Yeah.
Japan was knocked out in 1945, hit hard by the Americans. And then from there, in fact, their textbooks were changed, their education was changed.
Yeah.
Because the Americans, you know, put, you know, moratoriums on how, on what the Japanese should learn and what they shouldn't learn. Japanese didn't resist that. They stayed in. They understood the education and they outsmarted it. When they outsmarted the American education system, they came up with their own system, and the Americans did not even have chance or language to resist that. Japan still became the second largest economy in the world. It was just ousted by China recently. So that's the same thing, example. We cannot say we can't do that. We can. If the Japanese did that, if the Chinese did that, we can do that.
Yeah, we can, but there's a lot that need to change. That's a lot that needs
exactly.
to change.
Exactly. So we need to understand when politicians are speaking, they are in a tight spot because they understand that we don't have leverage.
Yeah.
But though you don't have leverage, you don't just keep quiet. You keep talking, at least. That's what you can do.
Don't we come to a point where we really see that, well, this is not working for us? You understand? This is not working for us. Realistically, as we see, we are going down. We're regressing. And can we not do something to really, really change the way? Because this is, we're talking about the future of our children now here and the future of this country.
Yeah, but do you have capacity to stand for that decision? Because it's another thing to come to that understanding. It's the other things to.
So you're asking now the intellectual capacity, or you are talking the monetary capacity?
Okay, let me give you an example. In 1979, the Iranians came to the point to say, "Look, this thing is not working for us."
Yeah.
The British own everything when it comes to oil, and it is our oil, and they are running our government, our country through this kingdom called of this Shah Pahlavi. They decided, look, we are going to deal with the government inside and deal with the British later. They dealt with the government, removed it, and then they took over the oil. But they paid the price because for 8 years they have been subjugated to, you know, Iraqi bombardment assisted by the West to pay for that crime. And Iran is still paying for that crime. So the only country that tried to do that is Libya, and Libya is now in oblivion. Every African leader understands that very well, including the opposition. Mm. They understand the cost of making such a decision. Do you know that in Africa there is no military? We don't have a nuclear power country in Africa. Mm. Nigeria is the biggest brother, but their military is not in order. That's why they cannot even deal with Boko Haram.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they were trying to do when they wanted to threaten, you know, Niger to go and to send troops there. That was going to be an embarrassment. So we understand very well in Africa that we do not have the capacity to even dare come to that level and, you know, make such a decision, because you will be dealt with and you'll be an example to others.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. Every leader in Africa understands that very well.
Yeah, so and you don't want to become an example of, you know, become an example of others, you see?
No, look, there was, when Libya was hit, the President Zuma woke up and was asking what is going on in Libya. He said, no, President, you signed the no-fly zone.
Yeah.
Yesterday, NATO came up with a form, and African leaders signed for a no-fly zone to be, you know, imposed in Libya, so that Libya can be bombed, you know, to oblivion.
Yeah, yeah.
And Libya was an example to everyone. Zimbabwe is an example to everyone. So, and every African leader understands it very well.
Mm. Dr. Franz, thanks for coming through.
Right.
All right. 0833-66-09. This is the final hour, 20 minutes past the hour of 10. We are in our final hour to the end of the show. 0833-66-091. You're most welcome to come through and have your say on the final hours. We mix it up. So good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
Good.
Yeah.
How are we?
We all right. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you the one who went with the president? I was trying to look at the list, huh?
No. But I was with one of those guys.
Oh, you're one of them?
No.
Yeah, oh, you're not one of them?
No. I was with the one who went with the president, yes. A friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Africa a bit.
Yeah.
No, Africa can do everything. All the capacities can do that.
Mm.
It's only that we don't have players.
We don't have?
We don't have players.
Yeah,
we don't have people that they are serious on business. And that is what is undermining Africa out there. If you look at it and you look at the way those guys were presenting themselves in China, they were not to look really much as business people. It looked like you took kids to tour.
Yeah.
To look for animal in a tosha there. then they were just, wow. That is what is happening now here. To say, we don't have really players.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. So the capacity of mining or natural resources.
Yeah.
Yes, we have that power. And how many?
But when you're saying the capacity, or do you say we have that power in terms of we have the mineral as a power of leverage, as he was talking, or we have the capacity in terms of We have the people, we have the expertise, we have the machineries and all that. Or what do you mean by that?
Yes, all of the capacitors, we have it. Because machinery, remember, machinery doesn't say you don't need to own it. What you need, all those things are operating under the law.
I understand,
right? If you look at Botswana, for example, and some of the part of Zimbabwe, you find some guys think that they are in agriculture, for example. They have the machinery equipped, very well equipped to do that.
Yeah.
No matter they are small scale producers, it doesn't really show much, but you can get. And I know one guy also, he was a part of Rossing.
Yeah.
He was begging by Ben Windu to do all the capacities. So he was getting a good contract, subcontracted, he had trucks, he had everything.
Mm.
But it was not yet, it was on loan. That's what I'm saying. Capacities to do those things, we have it.
Yeah.
Market, we have it. And this is what it was proven by John Wattnall when he approaching the BRICS key, the BRICS countries to say, we need more players in the field. Yeah. So that is what we are expecting everybody to be a player, so that we can have a good world with the financial transaction. But unfortunately,
In terms of market, you remember the president, actually, and the minister of foreign affairs was saying when they were in China, don't just look at the 3 million in Namibia. Look about the SADC, something about 300, a million populations. That should be your market, isn't it?
Yeah. Market is everywhere, Mike. The good word is which we need to learn on is Shiwiakutu Alanda.
Yeah.
A person in Australia that is looking at a nice diamond or a nice gold, a 9-carat gold in Namibia, can fly in to come and do that in Namibia.
Yeah.
That is not a big challenge to say. Yeah, look at Dubai, for example. Dubai is doing good more than UK now because of what they marketed themselves. And it's not a Dubaian that is they build up that city. It was the investors who are getting comfort to do that. And they are protected by Qatar, by Emirates up to now.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm saying. It has nothing to do with market. It has nothing to do with capacitors of saying you have a tour gold in your hand, which is a UK Rolls Royce manufacturer needing a gold from you. They can come and buy it.
And then what is holding us back? Is it is it policies, as someone said? Yeah.
No, it's not a policy.
Yeah.
It's a player. People, they don't have a mindset of saying how do I become a investor on such as a product. What type of percentage do I need? How much muscles do I need into putting out? Or is it 200 million or is it 500? Because the good thing, which I find it out, is was like, look at this 730 shareholders of Savannah Beef, meat processing, for example.
Yeah.
All those guys, they are Namibians. They convinced by one guy who is really understanding that, no, let us put them together.
Mm.
So we're raising this 200 million. So this 200 million now can come every month giving you back your 250,000.
Yeah.
Right? So, which you may end up getting, 400-500 million if we getting more market. You understand?
Mm.
The more we produce, the more we sell. And they are not selling through somebody. They are selling straight to Namibians. You understand? They're marketing themselves in the United States. They're marketing themselves in Europe. They're marketing themselves in Scandinavia. They're marketing themselves in China, you see now.
Yeah.
And if you look at what is the meat I eaten in Angola, which is supplied from China, it might end up our meat. You understand?
But why do we have reluctant private investors in Namibia? Why we have them Why we have them actually not taking risk? You know, whether it's in oil and gas, sometimes whether it's in some sectors, as we see, maybe green hydrogens. Why is that? They understand what this is not a viable business or to invest in, or how, where are we in terms of that and that environment?
Yeah, there is brand fodder, which is some policies that you don't understand, and nobody wanting to get rid of that policy, which is benefiting a few.
Yeah.
That you need to be known by FNB, you need to be known by Nedbank. So those are some of the things that, as I said, most of the guys that the money, their money is not legit. And to look on what were they playing, their card. Yeah, it's also something that I was even talking to that guy, the one who went to China, said, why president can't come up with a waving of saying, everybody with money, we are not following you.
Yeah.
Put your money legit, let us start investing. And let us first embracing the people so that they can understand.
Mm.
As I give you example of the Savannah, to say, when you are buying a shares, it doesn't say you're not buying your car next month. No, you can buy because the installment is there. Yeah, you're getting your money back because every month you are paying back. You are getting your dividend and all of that. So the issue here is that, as I said, if you look at it in some guys, things like the guys that are playing very well in Zimbabwe, they are black people. Yeah, they are black. No matter it's a sanctioned thing, yeah, they are joining up with the guys which are registering in the market in Dubai. Yeah, they are selling their good gold in that day. But when it comes to the country, also they are feeding the country.
Mm.
No matter, it's scarce because of the currency now, which is US dollar. Some people, they are not affording even to getting $10 a day. Yeah,
yeah.
That is another challenge because of the market. But that one, you cannot blaming it. It's blaming itself.
Yeah.
But come to your question that why people don't understand this or why they are not becoming players. Why we say we are capable of doing it. If you look at Alika Dakota, for example, he proved it to Africans that everything is possible.
Yeah.
And Alika Dakota now is wanting to open up a new refinery in East Africa to do the same. Because Alika Dakota didn't produce something for Africa.
Yeah.
He become a part of the world. And that is what I'm saying. For you to polishing your diamond in Namibia and market it to somebody who is a diamond cutter in Canada, you can make money.
Mm.
Yeah. Not to look at your capacity, because this is a China we are talking about. It's a China supply for those things.
Yeah.
So you do your part, somebody's doing his part. You understand? And that is what happened to gold in South Africa.
Mm.
And that is what is happening to gold now in Uganda. Uganda, they are washing gold, they are laundering gold of Sudan and DRC. You see where it happened.
Yeah.
And it goes straight into Emirates now, Dubai. Because of what? Because of the government of Uganda. So those are the things that we need to understand, that it's not really a hand gate of saying you cannot own a uranium in your storage.
Yeah.
No, you can. You buy it from Rossing Uranium.
Yeah.
You put it in your you go to the undermounting of whatever there. You build it up a nice storage. You sell it to whom you want.
Mm.
That is what now the government needing to make it easier for everybody. Because I look at some of the laws that are applying to this business. Because Ramaphosa is not there to changing laws.
Yeah.
That's another challenge which we have in Southern Africa. Ramaphosa, they are discussing with the monopolian Stellenbosch guys.
Yeah.
Because they are benefiting, they are the one that is begging the government. They are the one that is buying the bonds of the South African government. And that is what even people, they don't understand.
Mm.
We don't have rich people in Namibia that can buy bonds and begging the government.
Yeah,
we don't have those.
The other thing you mentioned is you mentioned that the problem is the hectare. Yeah, when we have open market, when you have an open, open market kind of business in Namibia, we then allow foreign actor actually to dominate the market, and that if we are establishing ourselves, we actually then allow foreign actors that are already well established to dominate the market, the Namibian market. So that leaving us really on the peripherals of of business. So shouldn't we then have a law that really support local, you know, actors to grow? I think that should be a problem as well. I think that's a problem.
Yes, that is one of the biggest things that I asked you last week, I think.
Yeah.
So when I asking about the person's delegation about promoting investment board.
Yeah.
Mewanja.
The former Mewanja, yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's somewhere else, yeah.
Oh,
she's not anymore at NIPDP. Oh. Yeah, she's no longer there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Someone else take over. Yeah.
So sorry for blaming. Okay. Yeah. So the issue here is like this. Yeah. If you look at the communication between president and that board, they are not saying the same language. President is good. I like her very much.
Yeah.
She's an open book because she's telling the Chinese what is needed to be here by Chinese. You don't come to Namibia to do what your business are doing. You come to joining up with somebody.
Yeah.
And the market is big, as she said. Yes. Don't look at Namibia, look at the SADC, look at, as I said, give an example of Huila, Kunene, and Kwando Kubang province. All those are relying on Namibian product. But if you look at what is now happening here to inviting foreign direct investment, to come and doing Namibia, save Namibia. This is where the problem is, when it comes especially to the Chinese. Yeah, Chinese, they don't pay tax. That is one of the thing which I'm always having problem with. I don't want it to be a part of the Chinese businessman. Yeah, unless you want him to survive out of the Chinese, but if you are building up an empire, you cannot do that to the person, because one day you will be caught and penalty with a lot of money, which you cannot be able to pay it back if they're penalizing you. And I know many Namibians that are doing business with the Chinese. One day, number of catching them, they will regretting what they have been doing. Because register your company, doing business, but you are not paying tax. It's one of the biggest problems.
Yeah.
And we go in that direction. Yeah, and come to your question, why they come and overcrowded in our market is that, if you look at in the north, for example, in the 80s, yeah, most of these started, they were having opportunity to do business with South Africa, buying in South Africa, come and sell it to Namibia. Those guys, they were not allowed to come, but to come and set up a shop in Namibia. No. Yeah. They were allowed to come and advertise because Namibians, they have no capacity to go and tour in South Africa, right?
Yeah.
So these guys, they are coming with a catalog, they are coming with a signpost, they're showing door to door, and those people, they said, oh, this is what I want. Give me more for this one.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that is what we failing in 1996 when he invited the FDI to come and do business in Namibia and training our people.
Yeah.
For example, in the fishing and in the retail, we do that. We allow them to come and set up on the shops. Which means, that is where the problem I'm saying, which means now the buying power from the company, the Namibian companies. You understand?
Yeah.
You're finding a company that are selling cement, for example, and you are saying, you know me, I have a lot of cement in Brazil, so why I can't buy your shop? And I'm doing business as usual. Mm. You see now. You kicking me out, I'm no more building my empire. You are the one who is building your empire, right? Because me, I just didn't get the rent of money now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no more a businessman. So those are the problems that I said, communication between FDI, the board, and the president is not one. And that is what the failure of 1996. So those are the things that we need to show our, but now the problem is that, do we have those people? As I said, they have money, but money is not legit. Because if you look at the cars that they are buying, 3.5, up to 7 million.
Yeah.
What of car? So ask yourself a car, why these guys are washing the money? Those are the garage now that they are washing their money. MNZ is washing their money. You don't, because road authority or NATIS doesn't ask, how do you afford this car? You know what I mean? It's already legit like that. But in business, If you register and you're buying that machine for 10 million Namibian dollar, and you come to Valvesh Bay, Namara is asking, how do you making this money? Or Namfisa is on our hand. And that is where the problem we are having. And those are the things that I'm appealing to President to say. Look at this way. We have a lot of guys that they have money. The same way that is Namibian Promotion Development Board have been done to Savannah. And Savannah now is doing good because it's selling straight. We are no more selling winners to South Africa.
South Africa, yeah.
We are slaughtered with them in Namibia. We are giving jobs into the feed rot. So all those things, it's making sense into Namibians, into selling on themselves. This is a sovereign country. We don't need to follow up on some of the laws that Ramaphosa is sitting on to benefit in South Africa. You understand?
Mm.
So all those things need to be sitting on the table. Because, as I said, I really like the Madam President.
Yeah.
He's a good listener. And maybe it's only the advice that they are not really capacitor for capitalism to understanding the system that, no, this is what we need to do to our people. The the money is there. The money is there everywhere. And to look at the circulation of the money, for example, the salaries, what, it's still circulating good, but it's not affording the daily basis needed. So those are the other things which is maybe needing to understanding that, no, this is where the problem is, because the monopoly is here. That is what I'm saying. Madam President needing to sit with people and look at.
Mm.
And the one thing I hear is that they say they want the Chinese to come and open up their business in Namibia. That is another problem we are facing. Because look at this way. We have Namibian Chamber of Commerce and Industry in this country.
Mm.
It doesn't do anything to business people. Then we just do the register, putting up something online, what, feeding people with lies and all of that. But in China, those bodies, they are the one that is boosting their business people.
Exactly, yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
That is where the problem we are having. So if you allow these Chinese to come, they were kicking us the same way Northern Namibia was, business people were kicking it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because those Chinese, they don't sell beer. You understand? If they could have opportunity to sell beer, they could kicking also even the bag. That is something we need him to see. Because that's what I'm saying. The advice of the president, they are not well equipped. They are not well enough understanding the system of capitalism.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are the problems that we have. Those are the problems I'm saying. You cannot allow Chinese to come and register their company. No. They are doing... That is what the same thing the Europe is doing.
But sometimes it's the loopholes that we have in our legal framework where actually, and I remember even at one point, I was actually asked, we want you to be the managing director of this company. You're not going to make decisions. Just the front, you know, just to register the company with a Namibian as a managing director in the deposit. But you completely, and there was a lot of money that I was being offered, actually. I don't know how did that end up. A certain company that it never worked out.
You see, that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's a foreign people. Yeah?
It's a foreign people. It's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In Africa, people, they don't really understand this thing. And they are getting kicked back. They are getting a lot of money.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the money that I would have been given.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is what I'm saying. That money is not to reject my. If you could getting it, you would be end up having a problem to say, how do I washing this money? How do I become a businessman?
Yeah.
Because if I go to the bank now, and then you will ask me a lot of questions.
Exactly,
and all of that. But it's not, you didn't stealing somebody's money.
Mm.
You are just, the person just taking advantage on you.
Yeah.
To getting what you want. It's the same guy who is coming from anywhere in Africa and wanting to marry a Namibian woman. So that she can have access into the passport.
Mm.
So that when he go to anywhere in the world, he's a Namibian. And he say, Namibia is one of the goodest countries to live in the world. And that is what we are also, it's only that now we are stuck because the advice, as I say, they are there. Because we want also to come up to introducing this. I hear some guys talking about it, this real estate in investment trust,
yeah,
which is also doing good. If you look at Valves Bay, I mean, so-called Valves Bay Beach, it was well advertising on that somewhere 2000s there.
Hmm.
But now it's dying because they didn't upgrade the airport. So we need to look at one of those ones so that the people, because most of these investors, they are running away from South Africa.
Yeah.
So, and they're needing somebody, because they need to monitor South Africa. South Africa is a big. You cannot, when you talk about Southern Africa and you want to include, maybe you're combining those five countries in Southern Africa for you to measure in South Africa. South Africa is a big.
Exactly.
It's one of the powerful, and we have a lot of people
that
they're understanding business in South Africa, more than us.
Yeah.
And that is what is one of the challenges we are having. But the advantage, as I said, the capacity we have it, the market we have it, whatever we are producing, it can have a buyer with a good money.
Mm.
If you are just washing diamonds, you're making money. And that's, don't compare in Botswana with Namibia. Botswana making mistake because of their leadership.
Yeah.
That is what the sanction is, something that is very dangerous when it comes to white people. They will sanction, because they like clean people to be part of the business.
Yeah.
Not dead people. They're like in the way you guys are talking about 1979 of Iran. Iran, they make a mistake because you're gripping somebody's hard working to digging that oil out of the thing. They set up with a lot of money. As I said, money, you don't need it to have fiscal money. What you need is how you pay it back for the loan that you are taking.
Exactly.
And that is what most of people, they don't understand. So that is what is the problem. But if you look at all the companies in the world, they are loaning money. Even Elon Musk is loaning money.
Yeah.
He has no capacity of $3 billion. Eh? But through the production of his companies, he can get pay back in a minute.
Yeah. So it's your asset. What asset do you have, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And here we don't have it because the system is kicking people to communal land.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they breeding the permission there in the communal land, which was supposed to give them 5 to 10 million alone.
Mm.
But now, because it's under the communal land, things can change. You understand? And that is what we don't have big investors in this country.
Yeah. So all right, man.
Sharp mic.
Yeah, great. 0833-66091. On the final hours, we let it flow. On the final hours, you're most welcome. As long as issues are bread and butter, and you know, you're talking a piece, you're taking a piece out of the issues that we're discussing, you're most welcome. So you're most welcome. So the final hours is more Oshikunde Nona. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hey, just 1 minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might, you know, Master Francis put it on the point.
Yeah.
Because you remember one thing, when you look Europe, then you look at Africa.
Mm.
Especially like Namibia, I think you can even put it like the whole kingdom of England, North Zealand, Ireland, you talk of Scotland.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because you remember, even themselves, the people they are having, they only, when it comes to business, yes, they do it very well.
Hmm.
And when they are also, they have that humanity among each other. But when they come to separate us, it's because they learn from themselves.
Yeah.
What happened to them. And they have, when they come here, they already have that experience in Europe. And for us, is that we don't make peace with one another.
Yeah.
That's why you see even Sadek cannot come up with one currency, can not come up with one.
But you know the thing, Nim?
If you look at,
for example, Europe, so the people who were fighting, they were ethnic groups, you understand?
So
they were ethnic groups, you know?
Mm.
They were definitely ethnic groups. And those ethnic groups end up as a country. You know, the Polish were ethnic group. The Greek were ethnic groups. Where, you know, the English were ethnic groups. You understand? So, but the way how our borders were drawn, they were just were actually drawn by someone sitting in London or something. You just draw a border. This should be Namibia. This should be Botswana. This should be whatever. So it doesn't consider.
People cut off.
Yeah. But the Kwanyama, as I was talking to Francis, that Kwanyama was seen as a Kwanyama was seen as a country. Kosilongo sho Kwanyama, it was seen.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been a country, you know.
Eternal.
So now Otangwa deke mumwe Kwambio Shike Ashika Nama Damara. But you know, and then you Matweke geographical that was actually drawn by a colonial person.
Yeah.
You understand? And now you have to find an identity that define you together based on what has been drawn by the colonial, you know. So, and that's why you find that, you know, the dominating group take over. You understand?
Yeah.
That's why you find civil war, conflict in Africa. It's because the border are not realistic to to who we are.
And the funny thing is that when you check, there are people who have been cut off like the other side.
Yeah.
So when you are talking about Kwanyama, how many the Kwanyama which is in Namibia, they are fewer than the one in Angola.
Yeah.
Because if you start like talking about people like Ovavale, Ngumbi, all the people we understand it is them when we are talking. But most of them they are in Angola. The thing is that also sometimes I think is this we didn't take it we take it so seriously instead of saying no, this is my family.
Yeah.
That's why mostly even if I go to Angola now, the way I'm getting treated, even we are speaking one language, different.
Mm.
It's different, but in Europe it's not like that.
Yeah.
Even you cannot understand it because English sometimes English cannot understand the German what is speaking. A German can really understand English.
Yeah.
Portuguese is the same. French is the same. But when it comes to difference, like where they have to share one passport, they do it. Garlands, they do it.
Mm.
But ours is here in Africa is different. Because I'm telling you, we are not really growing together. But you're supposed to know the difference. Now I understand when the president is even going to visit to South Africa today.
Yeah.
At least they can talk about it. The way we are selling Botswana ID. Then they can do that with South Africa. Because much of South African it's like one traffic. South Africa is benefiting a lot in Namibia comparing to us. Getting only finished products.
Yeah.
That's why she can talk about even the job because now a lot of foreigners, they left. And now I'm telling you, there will be a lot of job there. And we have skilled people here in Namibia. The problem also with Namibia is that we don't appreciate what? Women management.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you, if we just go even overseas, to send our young people who don't have a job. Because we're not telling me, man, even just imagine a person who's been graduated in two different fields, they cannot find anything. Eh? But you cannot even go around to seek employment for your own people because a lot of people are qualified now. They have been trained. They have skill. They are getting older to go for pension.
I remember, you see that for now, we're still not even at the level. I remember at one point, when was it? Was it, it's not in Nangangwa. Nangangwa is a Zambian, Nangangwa was a...
Nangangwa is a Zimbabwean,
Zimbabwean. No.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking as, who followed, Kenneth Kaunda? Who followed Kaunda?
Kaunda is not, Frederick, not Frederick.
Chiruba?
I think so.
Chiruba?
Yeah.
Or maybe who followed Chiluba? So I remember
Manawaza. Manawasa.
Now, remember when Manawasa became a president, when there was election in Zambia, I was part of the SADC people that, you know, that went there to observe the elections from
the election. Yeah.
So, and I can tell you, in Zambia at that time, you could find 2 or 3 doctors that have no job.
Easy now. Yeah.
Doctors, but medical doctors that have no job, unemployed.
I'm telling you.
So we talk about doctors.
Different.
And you are shocked. You kind of like, you are really, really shocked to think, really, doctor that they have no job at all.
That you don't have a job at all.
Yeah.
And so, that is current. What is happening in Namibia?
So, and just to say, we are talking about graduates that have just a human resource diploma or a degree. You know, we're talking about in a country where, you know, you have a professional, who a qualified doctor that can't find work.
Yeah, they work at all. You see?
So, yeah, there's still a long way that we have to go. Mm?
Is it a long way, but my friend, or us as a Namibian, you remember the teacher from Nigeria?
Yeah.
The nurse from Kenya, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Or Kenya or Ethiopia, somewhere there, yeah.
Yeah, they were Kenyan. There were some Kenyan.
Kenyan. Yes, you see? Yes. Why we cannot do the same? I'm telling you, the job is available in Angola, because mostly people are not qualified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk about the teachers. English is just English teaching.
What are the bilateral negotiations?
That's what I am talking about, the subject.
Yeah.
You see now,
You look at
it's a problem.
This is what actually the callers who said, look, you have to look at what the countries where you go, what are the needs there? You need to understand the market of that country for you to be able to provide a solution for that country. Eh? Yeah, and also understand what do you have that can offer. If we have qualified people that can be able to go and work in those countries, propose that, you know?
Propose, my friend. Yeah. Don't have some people going hungry. Yeah. Like in the way I'm telling you, the way I need our leaders to talk today, seriously, get away with this passport. Let us use ID. As long as you're from Namibia, you are qualified to enter South Africa.
Yeah.
You are qualified to, the way we are doing it with Botswana. And also you can apply to Angola also.
Yeah.
Because I think
we live in a digital world. We live in a digital world. Yeah. Electronic. Once you connect it, you know, you can connect it anywhere, wherever you are, you know?
Exactly.
You appear anywhere on the system.
Huh? Yeah. That's what we need.
Yeah.
The way we are using it,
on the borders, you should say, you share system. You know, so that when a person show up with the ID on this side and show up on the other side, it's
you can
be able to detect who is the person.
That person, Okay, Michael, let me give you maybe somebody will come through.
All right, thanks for coming.
Last caller.
Yeah, have a good day.
Okay.
All right, we still have 4 minutes. If you are out there and you want to take those 4 minutes? I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you for free. You know, here we give everything for free. Okay. So 0808-333-6091. 0808-333-6091. Basically 3 minutes more. There were a few things when we're talking about those whole thing hydrogen. What am I talking about? My mind is somewhere else. Okay. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike. Mm. Mike, look, I want you guys into understanding the territory.
Yeah.
The tribe territory.
Yeah.
Didn't capturing big land. You understand?
Say that again? Didn't?
They didn't occupy a big land like
We understand that. Yeah, like if you have the Mbalantus and the whatever, the Kwambis and things like
That's why they come up with the homeland one.
Yeah,
and that is what happening. Even if you want to understanding that, you have to go to Native Land Act, which was happening in South Africa, because it's only in South Africa and Namibia they have a native land law. Because Louis Botha went into the king and queens to ask about land. How are we going to divide this land among ourselves? And they refuse according to their territory. You understand? And the open land left the South African white minority with 87% of the land. So now, if you are arguing that, you know, we're supposed to have Ukwanyama land, state, and we have state?
Not necessary in a narrow sense of to say the Kwanyama should have been a country, the Kwambi should have been a country, you know, narrow sense.
I just want you to understand it.
Okay,
of the nomad. Okay, we have a nomadic.
Yeah.
Nomadic were not settling. It's like a bush, koi, what. They were not settling.
Yeah.
They cannot climb in to say, this is my land, because they were just roaming around.
Yeah.
And that is another ancestor which we cannot debate with the bush, koi, what. Because they were not settling. The nomadic, they were also causing a problem. If you go to Kenya, for example, up to now, they are depending on that. But as we are maintaining ours in Ohimba and, Tunkwe. So we have also controlling them on that. So those are the things I want you to go back to the native law, what it intends to do.
Yeah,
because we end up only 1936. We end up only getting 13% of the land.
But
the whole entire open land is for the whites. That's why you see they end up buying, because they didn't get it for free. They buy it from the state. You see now, incapable, because that law is in South Africa. Say a white who is capable of doing it must go to Agri Bank, get the loan, start producing food. And they were not allowing the white to go making a village in that open land.
Yeah.
You see where the difference was?
Yeah.
Unless you are making a town, that is to call it a village. But not to go and like what we are did now in Congo there. We are going in the bush and Toningipo Umbolo, Mongula Mkwenitea, Edopo Mwerimana, Puli Firoka Upovati. Whites were blocked to do that. And that is what also happening to Singapore and Japan.
Yeah.
They get rid of the villages. So they give the land to the capable of producing food for the people who are now in the urban areas. So I think for the time, but it needed to be understanding on that we must remember that there was a nomadic people.
Yeah, it's
that
true.
The roaming around, they never be occupied. You understand? The one that they occupied, they were just having that land. That's a nonsense. You are telling people lies.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, thank you.
Thanks for coming through, man.
You're welcome.
Have a good one here.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, and that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day. I tried to get hold of Miss Kushner. So I couldn't get to her. So yeah, we will see if we can have her tomorrow. Yeah, if we can be able to get her tomorrow. So, all right. That's where we end today. The final hour from 10 o'clock to 11 would be always open, you know, for really discussion, any discussion. But as long as those are really, really, you know, pressing issues in our society, concern. You know, bread and butter issues. We will have it let flow. So topical things, we will cover it from, you know, from 8 to, you know, to 10, from 8 to 10. And if we have some people that we bring in, it's between that times. And then, from 10 to 11. It's a last hour. It's a final hour. And then you're most welcome to bring in other issues as well of relevance to our discussion. Yeah. So, well, let me hand over to my colleagues in the capital. And yeah, have a great one. So one more day, actually just hours before we get into the weekend. Tomorrow is Friday. We're looking forward to that. So, yeah, from me, and have a good one. Until tomorrow.